Last time, we talked about, you know, the lives of men, how remarkably it has gone down from 969 years down to about 70 years. And at around 70 years, really it hasn't changed much, you know, from the time of the Israelites until this time. The advances in technology, how much did it add to our lifespan? Maybe 1 year. And what kind of quality of life actually did it add? Not much. So maybe we need to do a little rethinking. You know, the Western medicine emphasizes the disease and the treatment. On the spectrum of the disease, where does it start? It starts right here, way right there. When we get to this point, that means this is where the symptoms start to appear. And that's when you start feeling bad. You feel the fever, you feel the pain. And then after some time, if you cannot stand it anymore, what do? Then you go to the doctor, right? And then there's the diagnosis, there's the history and everything, and then you come up with the final diagnosis. And then you come up with a treatment. See, that's the Western thinking about how to treat the diseases. We don't talk about the very, very beginning up to the time when it starts having the symptom. What's wrong with that? That's why our lifespan hasn't increased that much. It was estimated that from last time I talked about that the lifespan, the average lifespan of men will increase only by 1 year, up, you know, until about 2030. So what does technology add? Not much. We'll be talking about, you know, most of the non-communicable diseases, because these are the things that we can actually prevent, or maybe we have control over. So I have this slide on the screen. Tell me, what do these people have in common? Huh? Well, first, you know, players, maybe athletes, and then we have singers, we have entertainment industry, we have politicians. What do they have in common? Don't know? They're celebrities. That's right. They're celebrities. If I add one name to that, he's not a celebrity. But what do they all have in common? They eat plant-based food. That's what they all do. So, the rethinking process here is that maybe we need to do something about something that causes us to be sick. What is that? Well, let's go back to the basics. Exodus 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and shall bless thy bread, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, in the context of that, where was that given at? It was given to the Israelites just before they entered Canaan. What did he say? If you serve me and eat the right food, I will bless your food, I will bless your water, I will take the illness and sickness away from you. Did he do that? Of course, no. Are we doing it? Well, we have to think. Because we're not really following the instruction. The instruction from the beginning is you eat what? Herbs, legumes, what else? Fibers and nuts and everything. So, if we do a rethinking of this process, instead of emphasizing the end of this spectrum of the disease, where we just wait until the symptom and the disease come out and treat them, we're missing a whole lot. So what are those things that actually impact the body? There are so many things that can cause problems to the body. Number one is food. What is something that comes, that enters into your body oftentimes that we don't even think about? It's the food. What about toxins? Easy. Rat poison, you know, other toxins that you find anywhere. What about allergens? Pollens, anything. You can have pollens everywhere. Or you can have other things, allergy to the chemicals. What about microorganisms? What are they? Give you a little idea. I mean, you know, microorganisms are bacteria. What else? Fungi, fungus, virus. They're all germs. And there's another fourth one, which people don't really talk about very much. It's called prions. But never mind, don't worry about that. So, physical agents, what are they? Example of physical agents, the sun, the heat. What about trauma? Those are physical agents. There's nothing you could do about that. I mean, it could be prevented, you know, when you get an accident, you cannot prevent it. And then chemicals, we know that. Medicines. How many of us, with a little symptom, a little sniffle here and there, you go immediately to a doctor? A lot of us. And how long did you start? You ask them, how long did you start doing this? Just yesterday. I had a sore throat, I had a fever, and then I don't feel right. And then you go to the doctor, expect something. And what did the doctor do immediately? Write a prescription, give you an antibiotic. Is that right? 95%, it's the wrong way to do it, because most of these are viruses. So unnecessary taking of the antibiotic and other medications is not good to your body. What does it do? It does a lot of things to the body. And now I'll explain later what are these unnecessary things do to you. Let's just go right into that antibiotic, okay? It's so abused this day and age. It's given to what? People who don't need it. People, you know, animals, just to make the animals grow bigger and fatter. And it's all around us. So that's why there's so many antibiotic resistance. But I'm going to talk about a little bit more what antibiotics do to your inside of your body, because we'll be talking shortly about that. So these are the offending agents. Now, these are the defenses of the body. The body is like a fortress. There are so many defenses that our body have. Number one is the skin. Do you think skin is a defense against everything? A lot of things? Tell me, what is the biggest and the largest organ in the body? Skin. I just gave you the answer. People think it's the liver, it's the bone. No, it's the skin. It's the biggest, largest organ. These are the defenses. Immune system. What happens if you get an infection?
White blood cell count increases.
That's one. The white cell count increases. What else? Among the white cell count, there are so many things there. You have the lymphocytes, monocytes, other things that have a specific function of its own.
Temperature rises,
that's a response to the inflammation. Now, there are other things that we don't talk about, you know, in the immune system, you know, like cytokines and other things. But you don't have to worry about that. We'll not have a test. But these are the things I'd like you to be familiar with. Immune system. If your immune system is not working right, what happens? You get sick. You get autoimmune disease. And there are so many other things that can go wrong. Immune system. Angiogenesis. I'd like to introduce that word to you. This is a word that we don't hear very often. Angiogenesis, the word genesis means the beginning, right? Angio means blood. So that means the beginning or the creation of a new circulation. When do you have that? When you get a wound, any injury to the body will start to heal. It starts with the angiogenesis. I'll jump right into the other bad thing about angiogenesis. Cancer. This is where the cancer begins. Every day, Now, angiogenesis and DNA repair, they are very closely related to each other. Let me go back and forth between DNA and angiogenesis, okay? DNA, you know that. That's our genes, right? Yeah. Every day, you have about 10,000 gene mutations. Every day. 10,000, remember that. Not all of them develop into cancer. Why? Because you have a very good defense system. The problem is that if we don't correct, you know, our body and the defense system is not there or is inadequate, what happens? This mutation develops into a tiny bit of one cell, two cell cancer. You don't still feel it, right? And the body starts developing this immune system. The worst thing is once this angiogenesis starts kicking in, the cancer develops a new circulation of its own. Once it does that, it will have its own genes, it will have its own DNA, and then it's a whole different world. That means cancer is now autonomous. It can operate on its own no matter what you do. You treat the cancer with everything, chemo, radiation, you kill every cell. And you said, you're free? Not so fast. Remember, there is another problem there, regeneration. Regeneration, I'm talking about the negative side of these defenses. When the negative, when the defenses are in not in the right place, this can also be wrong. Regeneration, if the cancer has been in remission for some time, and you said after 5 years, it came back again with a vengeance. Why? That's because of the regeneration. The new stem cells has come up with a new kind of cancer, now resistant to the medicine that you're giving, chemotherapy. All of this, I haven't mentioned microbiome yet. I will emphasize on that a little bit more. So I don't know if you're familiar with any of this, or we don't mention this very often, right? But I was trying to see how can I give a short or maybe a very brief, you know, presentation, and that way you get the basic important elements of this lecture. I'm not a preacher, remember? I told you last time, I'm not a preacher. I don't know how to preach fire and brimstone like the other ones. So, lecture, I have left the middle of this defense system, the microbiome. What is the microbiome? Anybody? Small, correct, it's small. Biome means life. Microbiome is actually the bacteria that dwells in your gut. What's the gut? The gut consists of the mouth, the esophagus, the stomach, the small intestine, and the large intestine. That's the gut. But we'll not talk about gut. We'll talk about microbiome. Every bacteria that grows in your body, from the ears to the eyes to the nose to the mouth, esophagus, stomach, intestine, they are called what? Microbiome. I'd like you to keep that in mind, because the studies now, there's growing interest in this number three, that it is actually the cause of so many problems. They have now linked more than 20 diseases to this, including heart problem, obesity, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disease, arthritis. What else? Almost all the major ones. If we can prevent most of them, we are preventing about 60 to 70% death rate. We don't talk about it, right? Food will cover all of those. If we don't eat the right food, then our defenses is not there. Not there. What is health? Tell me, what is health? What's good health?
A state of
Now, it used to be the definition of health is the absence of disease. When does the disease start? Way from there, right? Up to here. The disease doesn't start where you start having symptoms and then you treat it. Nope, it started way out there. When do you start treating it?
Way out there.
Way out there. Exactly. So how do we prevent? How do we keep our defenses strong?
Eat right.
Eat right. That's the simplest answer. Of course, there are other things that we need to know, we need to do. So, what are the things that would impact our defenses, negatively or positively? Medicine is number one. Environment. What does environment mean? There, right? Place. Your place where you're residing. Or maybe the place is dirty, or maybe you are in some other toxic environment. Healthy lifestyle. What's that? Exactly. Exercise, rest, oxygen, sleep, sunshine, diet. All of this are we doing? Maybe three or four, right? Diet, we all fail with that, most of us. Sunshine, some don't like the sun. Sleep, sleep-deprived people. You go to work, and then you, especially children, sleep. This is a problem. And then their defenses are down because they didn't have enough sleep. Memory is affected. The immune system goes down, you get sick. Sleep. Oxygen, no problem, unless you are in a very toxic environment. Rest, very important. Now, we're going to talk about this some more. This is where our study is really all about. Microbiome and angiogenesis. Microbiome, what is it? Again? Every bacteria that is in our body. Let's just give an example. How many bacteria do you think is in our system? Million? Billions? Trillions? That's a good question, right? 37 trillion genes are there inside you. Approximately how many genes are in a human being? About the same. So if I say, if someone asks you, are you human? You might say, I'm half human. Because the other half is really bacteria. It's really bacteria. So that's how it is. You are 50% bacteria. Not because of the volume, but because of the number of genes. There's just too many things there. We do not know about this until recently. In medical school, we didn't learn about this. We didn't even learn about diet. We only know from the beginning, physiology, anatomy, and so on, that when you eat, these are the protein that you need. You need oil, you need protein, you need minerals, you need vitamins, end of the story. We don't go more into the details of what diet, what it does to your body. So this is where we need to study a little bit more. What does the bacteria inside your gut do? It breaks down the fibers. What are the fibers that we eat? Western diet, very, very, very little fiber. What does that mean? Because we eat a lot of meat. You have a little salad here and there, and then you go back to the same food again, over and over again. Very little fiber. Everything, almost everything in Western diet is about refined food. Sugar, refined flour, refined everything. And everything is processed. The fiber I'm talking about here is the original fiber. In other words, what are those? Tubers, yam, potato, everything. But when you process that, it reduces the amount of microbiome. How many microbiomes, you know, bacteria in the gut, again? 60 to 100,000 in a Western diet, how many, what's the count of microbiome in a Western diet? About 1/4 of that. No wonder Western diet make you sick. And as I've said earlier, it's related to what now? Diabetes, obesity, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune disease. And there are about 27 clinical studies going on right now about this. This is where the growing interest is. Because we didn't know before, but now we have a better idea. How can I give it to you? In short, you know, I'm just giving you at least an introduction. We're scratching the surface yet. So it breaks down the fibers. What else did you do? They manufacture vitamins and minerals. We take vitamins, right? What is vitamin? Vitamin is an essential element that the body cannot process, or cannot manufacture. But if you take into account microbiome manufacture the vitamins and minerals, and then they recirculate. That's why microbiome is protective. It keeps you from having these diseases. Protection. An example of protection microbiome is that the studies have shown that when you take a picture, an electron microscopy picture of the lining of your intestine and the inside of your intestine, there's a thick mucus layer that protects the gut or the lining, a thick mucus layer. What does that do? It protects you from the toxin. It keeps you from absorbing all those fats, so on. And it protects you by other means as well. It regulates absorption. I just mentioned it. They have studied that there are two sets of mice. You know, the mice with a good microbiome and the mice with a Western diet. And the mice with a Western diet, they grow 4 times as big. And the one with a good microbiome, because lots of fiber, normal. That's in mice, animal studies. Now, how do you correlate that with humans? So they did a crossover study. Humans, they gave it to the, you know, the food. They interchanged the Western diet and the fiber. And the result was the same. Humans or mice that receive high fiber diet, they lose weight. And if you don't, they gain. Those are things that we didn't know before. In fact, I spent a lot of hours researching this. And then I just beginning to learn that the microbiome really has a lot more function than I thought. So these are the things that are now linked to microbiome. Cancer, obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, arthritis. Practically almost the things that we see today. So what is a healthy microbiome? If you have a lot of this bacteria inside you, then you're more protected. They studied the microbiome of the Western, of the people in America and the people in certain tribes in Africa and certain people in Japan. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people here. By the way, I'll give credit to Dr. William Lee. You may want to remember those names, Mark Hyman and Dr. Erica Sonnenberg. They are molecular scientists from Stanford, Harvard, and Cleveland Clinic. And they have more studies, actually, that were done, about 100 more than publications. So Western diet, what is in the diet that really makes the microbiome healthy? Remember only one thing. Fiber, dietary fiber. If you have more fiber in your diet, you're protected. You'll be protected from all those things I just mentioned earlier. See, Western diet, very small amount, size. Plant-based diet, 3 to 5 times. And when you have more of those, it protects you. Can you have too much fiber?
Too much fiber.
Well, remember, in a balanced diet, you need a variety of everything. You cannot just eat all fibers. You cannot eat all kinds let's say, tubers. You have to have everything. See, if you got everything, you just have the right amount. So too much of the fiber still won't be a problem. There was a study done on these people, you know, before, let's see, in the 1960s, 1950s. People in Japan, why do they live to be more than 100? There were some people in the Philippines who lived to be more than 100. And what do they had in common? They were eating only tubers, base. They didn't have other things. They didn't have, of course, they have meat also. But that was the most crucial thing about that, fiber. Do we have fiber in our diet? If you eat the Western, then you already got a problem. If you do Mediterranean diet, they have more fiber. If you do other diets that are in other countries, you know, where you have a lot of these plants and vegetables, then you have more fiber. November 9 is what? Plant swap? Oh, we changed it. November 17th. Right after this November 9th. 10, correct? We changed that? 17, we changed it. That's okay. That's all right. Now, in the plant swap, just for you, for your information, we are swapping plants that are rich in nutrients, you know, and they have a lot of other protective elements in them, especially Gloria, Donalyn. I have some plants that I want to share with you also. One of them is called the longevity spinach. It's very common in Asia, in Japan, China, Philippines, and it's been known to help with diabetes and other diseases. So if you are interested, go to the plant swap. You'll learn a few things. So here's a special mention about this microbiome. Akkermansia. I've never heard about this until last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And then the more I learn about it, the more it's interesting. And they have done studies on diabetes and obesity and inflammation. Just deserve a special mention. Because they found out that if you have that in your gut, in your microbiome, the diabetes becomes controlled. Obesity goes down. And then inflammation, it goes down. How do you get Akkermansia? You don't buy it anywhere. You don't find it in the probiotic capsule. It's just there. And if you don't eat the right food, it's not there. But how do you promote that? Right there. Pomegranates and cranberry. If you do that for 2 weeks, it gets back. And then you do better. Probiotics, are they good? Yes and no. Probiotics, they are the useful bacteria. They are live. When you buy them from the store, they come in capsule. Question is, are they alive? They're supposed to be live. They're supposed to be working well. And if it's been on the shelf for some time, what happens? A lot of them died. So there's no use. Make sure that when you buy probiotics, it has the word USP and it has the word live culture. If you don't, you're buying something for nothing. Now, what does the probiotic do? You take it. Does it stay in your system? The answer is no. So why do you take it anyway? Because they are not native to your system. If they are native to your system, then they will take residence and then they will improve your health. Now, where do you get all of this microbiome? How did it get there in the first place? When you were born from the womb, you're supposed to be sterile. There's supposed to be no bacteria in you. How did it get there in the first place? Through the birth canal, you immediately inhale, you immediately swallow whatever is in the normal flora of the mother. Now, some of this travel, you know, there's some bacteria in your uterus as well. It's not completely sterile. The bacteria, there's one particular bacteria I'll mention. That's Lactobacillus reuteri. It's in the uterus, the baby. Somehow, it gets into your bloodstream, travels through the blood, it gets into your breast milk. And the breast milk goes to your baby. And now the baby is protected from cancer. Studies shown its protection goes up to about 3 to 4 generations. Lesson, mothers, breastfeed your baby. Now, if we do this early enough, you know, if we start all of these changes in our diet from the beginning, then we don't really miss a lot. But if we start it right here, when I'm old, I don't know, what's lurking in there? Maybe there's already cancer, okay? So that's the problem. And the problem with this, you know, this microbiome is that they're impacted negatively by antibiotics. I just mentioned it a while ago. There's an abuse of antibiotics in this country. Everyone wants antibiotic. You go to the doctor will tell you, okay, this is what you have. Before you even say anything, the patient would say, I need Cipro. I need this. I need that. And then you scratch your head. Why do you want it? You don't need it. But they insist. They give it to you, right? And then, of course, the other people don't care about, you know, arguing. Just go ahead, give it, and get lost. That's the attitude about this Western medicine. We think we can fix it by just giving the medicine. A pill for an ill. It doesn't work. I mean, with us being Seventh-day Adventists, and we espouse the idea about healthy habits, you know, we need to start from here. Where do we start? We start from the family. We start to give our children the right kind of all these defenses and all these ways to attack or prevent these diseases. You start early enough, take the right food, you'll be healthier. So, we mention also about, here are the things that are harmful to the microbiome. Remember this. What hurts your microbiome? Number one, sugar. American diet consumes how many tons of sugar? Millions. You go to our fellowship, our potluck. What is the place there that gets, you know, cleared quickly? Dessert. And when you eat the dessert, it's so sweet. You put too much sugar. What kind of sugar you put in there? Cane sugar, and a lot of times it's the corn syrup, which is a processed kind of sugar. That's not the kind of sugar we're talking about. This is the kind of sugar we're talking about, harmful to the microbiome. Why does it harm the microbiome? Here's the explanation. This is a molecular explanation. You eat the sugar. The sugar is already in simple form. Once it gets there, all the body needs to do is just absorb it quickly. The first part of your intestine, everything is absorbed. What happens to the rest of the gut, the intestine and the large intestine, where your microbiome, really majority of them lives? There's none of them. There's nothing for them to process. So what happens? The microbiome starves. That's why the Western diet makes your microbiome go down, because too much sugar. Another thing, antibiotics. Antibiotics will wipe out your microbiome. So if you take something antibiotic, replace it temporarily with your probiotics. Just a quick, you know, a quick fix. But the healthy diet makes your microbiome grow healthier and more. Poor diet, low fiber. We talk about that. Sanitation, very common. A lot of us are germophobes, right? Everything has to be clean. Everything has to be clean. Now, there's making good studies of this. If you do a lot of Lysol, if you do a lot of alcohol, everything is clean, your defenses will go down because microbiome is wiped out also. Everything that goes into your skin, through your mouth, you inhale it, it affects the microbiome. Artificial sweeteners, ooh, very common. Who doesn't do artificial sweetener? A lot. Where do you find it? In soda. Where else? Other drinks. And there's so many of these artificial sweeteners. They are not useful to the microbiome. They don't grow. And if you do a lot of those, the microbiome population, they go down. Commercialized meat. What does that mean? Meat. Meat now is farmed, right? Most of them are fed with growth hormone, antibiotics, other kinds of hormone, pesticide, insecticide, name it. They have to keep these cows healthy. They have to keep it, they have to make this really grow very fast, because when the meat is young, it's tender, it's nice to cook, and it's very juicy. Same thing with chicken, same thing. Farm, be careful about that. So I added there, because of this, go organic. What does organic mean? No, it used to be the organic is, the meaning organic is just, you know, whatever you put in the plant, you know, for fertilization. The Department of Agriculture has expanded the meaning of organic. It means no pesticide, no insecticide, no other artificial treatment, no chemical, and no recycled waste. So whenever you get a chance, buy organic, especially vegetables. Because they have found, in fact, yesterday I just read it, that they have found that the organic, you know, the organic vegetables and non-organic vegetables, there's a big difference. Bacteria here, the harmful bacteria. And then, of course, organic is the natural way of growing things. Yes? Talk about processed food. What happens to a food that's processed? You destroy some of the elements. There are some elements in the food that are sensitive to oxygen, light, and temperature. The best way to process your food is the natural way, fresh from the garden. You cook it. That's the best way. But it's not practical all the time. A lot of times, you go to the grocery, you find in the refrigerated section, that's better actually than the ones that's wilting already on the shelf. But if you see it fresh, by all means, you know, by all means, take it. Because